Advent is a season of anticipation and preparation. You could say growing anticipation. As Christmas gets closer, the joy of Advent gets greater. Or you could say the light gets brighter. That's why the symbol of the Advent wreath is a useful one, because at the beginning there's only one candle. Then after another week there's two candles. Then the third week there's three candles. And by the time we get to four candles, that's a lot of light. And then when we get to Christmas, we don't need candles anymore. It's like at night, it's good to have lights. But once the sun comes up, we don't need candles anymore. That's something like what we're doing in Advent. We're looking forward to the sunrise. And the light keeps getting brighter as we go along. Well, I've been thinking about trying to come up with examples of how this growing anticipation works in two stages, or what we look forward to comes in two stages. What we're really looking forward to is Christmas, but we're in this stage one. The first thing that came to my mind was in sports, maybe because sports are interesting to me. In the regular season, people are looking forward to the playoffs so that they can get to the championship. Now, everybody wants to win the championship, but you can't get there until you go to the playoffs. It's a bad example, though, because sometimes teams don't get to the playoffs, or they get to the playoffs and then they lose. They never get to the championship, so that's a bad example. I was thinking about school, because I know there's lots of children here today. What if in the school there's a Christmas party on the last day before Christmas vacation? Well, very nice to have a party, and everyone will look forward to having a Christmas party. I think you're having a Christmas party today. No? So having a Christmas party, but what the students really want is Christmas vacation. They've got the vacation time, the party is nice, and they look forward to it, but really it's just stage one. Stage two, Christmas vacation, I think. Well, maybe people like the party better than they like the vacation, but I think that's an example, not a great example. The Advent wreath I mentioned a moment ago, that's an example. It's almost how it's structured liturgically. We can't get to Christmas until we pass through those 4 weeks, and the third week, which is tomorrow, the third Sunday, is pink. So you might say, oh, I can't wait to get to that pink candle because it means that Christmas is close. Stage one, pink candle. Stage two, Christmas. Now, that's not a very good example either, because we don't really look forward to lighting the pink candle that much. It's not that much anticipation or joy. It's just symbolic. I want to get this two-stage process in our minds. Then I thought of Zechariah. We'll be hearing about him in a week or two. Zechariah, remember when the angel appeared to him and told him that his wife was going to have a son, and he didn't believe it. And then the angel said, well, you're going to be silent until it all happens. So he can't wait to get his voice back. That's stage two in this case. But stage one, his wife has to have a son. Now, that's a bad example too, because having a son is much better than getting your voice back. But you can see there's this first stage of anticipation, which has to happen first before the second stage. Much better example from the scriptures is my last example. Mary at the visitation, right? Mary was told that her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. So she was told, Elizabeth is going to give birth to a child before you do. That's a great thing to look forward to, that Elizabeth is going to have a child. So that's a joyful stage one, but much greater is stage two, when you yourself have a child, and that child is Son of God. So that's stage one, stage two. And that, I think, is closer to what the liturgy today is all about. Today we celebrate the Elijah Mass. We focus on this mysterious figure, Elijah. Elijah is stage one. The Messiah is stage two. And the Jews had this deep in their minds. They knew the prophetic tradition was very clear that Elijah, who was an extraordinarily powerful prophet in the past, he was going to come again. That was the prophecy, and we heard it in today's first reading. You, Elijah, you were so awesome. You were such a fiery furnace. You had all this power, and you are destined to come again, to put an end to wrath before the day of the Lord. So you will come before the Messiah comes. Now, the Jewish longing was for the coming of the Messiah, the Liberator, the Savior. But they knew Elijah had to come first. So they were also looking forward to Elijah. It's a little difficult when we're dealing with prophecy, right? Because prophecy, even though it tells us something definite, it's not always obvious exactly what it means. Is it symbolic, or are we to take it literally? Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind of fire. Is he going to come down from heaven just like that? Or is it symbolic? Is this coming of Elijah going to be fulfilled by someone else like him? And this is the way prophecy is. It's not clear. We read about a week ago about the prophecy where a child is going to play with a poisonous snake. Really? Is that what you want to happen? Or the prophecy that the virgin will get pregnant and give birth. Really? A virgin? How is that going to happen? So, is it going to literally happen, or is it symbolic? Well, we know in this case, the virgin is literally true. But the prophecy was Elijah will come. And so, in today's gospel, when Peter, James, and John are coming down the mountain of the Transfiguration with Jesus, remember what they saw on the mountain? Jesus in glory, but also Moses and Elijah. They saw Elijah. Well, he's a heavenly figure in glory. Has he come or not? Is his appearance on the mountain his coming, or is he supposed to come? And then so they asked Jesus, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? They asked the question about Elijah because they've seen Jesus transfigured in glory. Jesus is the Messiah. Well, how can the Messiah come if Elijah hasn't come yet? Or has he come? That's the question that this Mass is focusing on. And Jesus gives the answer. Yes, Elijah will come, but he has already come. Elijah has already come. And they didn't recognize him, meaning the authorities didn't recognize him. A lot of people did recognize him. They thought John the Baptist, not only did they think he might be Elijah, they thought he might be the Messiah himself. Even Jesus. Some people thought Jesus was Elijah, or maybe the Messiah himself. So it wasn't all clear to them, but Jesus makes it clear that Elijah has already come, and he's speaking symbolically. He says he came, and he wasn't recognized, and they did what they pleased with him. Then the disciples realized, oh, he's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist fulfilled the prophecy about Elijah coming. John the Baptist, who was also a very fiery preacher, who was a man who called people to conversion, just like Elijah. But John the Baptist was not taken up in a whirlwind of fire, and he didn't come down in a whirlwind of fire. He was born of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and he was martyred, he was beheaded. That sad ending of John the Baptist, Jesus says, is an indication of what's going to happen to him as well, the Son of Man. So also will the Son of Man suffer at their hand. Now, Jesus will not be beheaded, but he will be crucified. This is part of the preparation that is being given to us in Advent. The preparation for the coming of the Messiah is also preparation for the suffering of the Messiah. Our joyful anticipation includes our awareness that it's not going to all be joyful. Today's saint is a good example. Saint Lucy, young woman, dedicated wholeheartedly to Jesus Christ. She dedicated her virginity to Jesus Christ. Well, the one who wanted to marry her didn't like that idea, and so he turned her over to the authorities. She was practicing an illegal religion, Christianity. She was martyred for her Christianity. She passed through the same process as John the Baptist. But we celebrate her feast day in joy. Why? Not because she was martyred, but because she was victorious in her martyrdom. Because she went to heaven. Stage one was the martyrdom. Stage two is eternal glory. So sometimes we don't recognize what we're really looking forward to. We don't recognize all the stages. We don't recognize John the Baptist. We don't recognize that part of our joyful anticipation includes sufferings. But it does. It does. It doesn't ruin our joy because we know what is to come. It just makes us more realistic so that if we're experiencing some difficulty, it's not going to ruin our celebration of Christmas. Because we know that's part of the process. Stage one, stage two. Stage two is so great that stage one doesn't really matter that much anymore once it's over. Okay? We don't celebrate Elijah very much. We don't think about him very much like the Jews did. We don't even think that much about John the Baptist because once Jesus came, John's mission was over. Stage one's over, we celebrate stage two. Well, that's part of what we're doing in Advent. We're not at stage two yet in our life. We're not in heaven yet. Jesus hasn't come again in glory yet. So we pass through some difficulties, but with our hearts set on the joy that is to come. Stage two. Okay? So enjoy the Christmas party and persevere in faith. Amen.